So today is Tuesday, huh? I think 23rd, is it? 23rd January 2018. Huh? So we are having the Tuesday class at our SS2 place. So let us now compose our mind, develop the faith. Then mindfully, we shall progress with the puja chanting. We will do the salutation to all the great beings. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Siin Pusa. Namo Quan Siin Pusa. Namo Quan Siin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Page 1. We will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. We are now chant the padipa puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarappa dittena dippena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujani yang tang Puja bhajana motamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayamin munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi bedang kusumena mena Punena matena ce hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, we will now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all the significance of the puja offering that we have just done. Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness and ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water to the Buddha. May this offering of clear, pure, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will strive on diligently to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Then, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. The sharing and transfer merge to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Bhadang pujayami Dhammang pujayami Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. then you have half an hour of meditation. So just relax body and mind, silent everything, make sure you got a stable posture, then just silent your mind. Whatever arise, let it arise, don't resist, don't fight, don't suppress. When thought arise, just let it arise. You just silent and observe, what thought is it? Then as you continue to observe without any reaction or response, your mind will quiet down by itself. Everything will just slow down by itself. Just silence everything and stay with your breathing or your heart area. Yeah. Wherever you can locate your mind and just silence. Just feel, relax, and let all the things settle down by itself. In fact, that is the fastest way to develop meditation. But for those who have already developed the training of the mind, to do the mind sweeping method, to decondition your heedless thinking, you can go ahead, no problem. Just follow the instruction as given in the transcript books. Mind sweeping method, start from your forehead. Just silence everything, body and mind, completely silent, relax. Then maintain attention at the forehead. Then what you do is you feel the forehead. Whenever there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax, relax and relax them all. Feel them soothingly, relax. Then you sweep down to your eye muscle, do the same. Then your facial muscle, do the same. When you do this, you de-stress yourself, you decondition your heedless thinking, where you just feel relaxed, you don't think anymore. So after some time, this new way of training your mind will make you calm and peaceful. Then this will give rise to inner peace. Your mind becomes quiet, peaceful. Then you can bring about inner joy or inner well-being by radiating love or metta, universal love, starting with yourself. You visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, your facial expression will relax the facial muscle. So you will be in a state of relax. Then you start to radiate love to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it with your heart that your entire body and mind is in the state of well-being and happiness. Each and every cell within your body and mind has this type of well-being and happiness. Then you let this feeling go in. Then it will boost your immune system, it will make you calm, it will make you peaceful. Then it will give rise to inner well-being, inner peace, combined inner well-being will bring about positive mind state, positive energy field that will allow you to recuperate from your tired day. Then it will also bring about the positive mind state to boost your immune system. So this type of training is very useful. So just silence everything, relax and radiate love to yourself. Then you can continue. May my body and mind too be free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May my mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. So this type of metta, we already did it very well. Your mind will open up, your heart will open up, and there is only joy, love. Start wishing yourself, loving yourself. Then you extend this love to your loved ones, then to all beings. So if you do that, it will help you. Then it will bring about the calm mind, the peaceful mind. then you will have a lot of faith in yourself, a lot of joy, and this will replace your problems, your worry, your unhappy mind state. So at least when you meditate, you bring about inner transformation of mind state from a state of agitation, restlessness, full of negative mind state or energy field. You have settled down to become more calm, more peaceful, and with a lot of inner peace leading to inner joy and inner well-being. So this is what meditation can help. This is how meditation can bring about inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner well-being to help transform your mind state so that it's very quiet, very peaceful, and very conducive for you to experience the peace within, the calmness, the stillness, the good energy. Yeah. Then when you got good mind state, there is love. Then everything you arise is beautiful. They are all wholesome, no more negativity or fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All these wrong thoughts will not come and haunt you anymore. That's why loving kindness is very good. Then after that, when you are already more calm and more peaceful, you just silence everything, no need to do anything. Then anchor your peaceful mind to your breathing. You can train yourself in mindfulness of the in and out breath, which the Buddha called Anapanasati. Anapana is the in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So when you train your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath, you will become very calm and very peaceful, because when you are mindful, you don't think. You are in a state of relaxed, silent, and fully aware. So this awareness or sati will make you very calm, very peaceful. Then you will experience a lot of good mind state, starting with piti. Piti is a type of meditative calm. Meditative joy or rupture, spiritual calmness leading to the rupture of the mind, the deep spiritual joy that you experience in the mind. And as you continue to relax into this piti, silent everything, it will become more refined. Then you may later on experience what they call sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind. The mind become very blissful, full of joy, full of bliss, ecstasy. So this mind is very, very conducive for peacefulness, for joy, for happiness. Then after that, you continue to relax and maintain this mindfulness, continue to train it. You will experience more quiet and refined mind state. Then everything is like quiet down, become very still, very silent. Then when that thing happens, what you can do is you just allow the mind to be, don't do anything. So that peaceful mind, the silent mind, the tranquil mind, the still mind will arise. We call that pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And this mind is the meditative mind. When this mind arises, thought does not arise. That's how you meditate. So I will let you train your mind. You just relax, silent everything, and just let the mind settle down, become peaceful. Then you just experience the silence, the peacefulness, the calmness, the joy, that you really want to remain entirely peaceful and quiet. You just let the mind stay that way. Then you find it so calm, so peaceful, and you want to rest your mind, you can. You can have a deep rest. Then you will recuperate. After that, you feel very good. You will feel a different type of mind state which you never experienced before, especially those who seldom meditate. Then this mind state will give you a lot of clarity of mind, understanding, joy. Then you will have sensitivity, mindfulness. The calm mind, the silent mind has clarity and is very sensitive. Whatever movement it can detect, it can feel, it can sense. Yeah. And this is the mind that is sensitive. Okay, I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Then for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. person still wants to continue their meditation, you can put yourself up slowly, mindfully, come out of your meditative state. Try to experience your inner peace, your inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. You will come to realize everything has slowed down. You are very serene, very quiet, very peaceful, very calm, and your mind got no movement. This is supposed to be the way you live your life, not to carry the problem in your mind, leading to all the agitation, restlessness, fear, worry, and anxiety. That is heedless living. With the meditative mind is heedful living. Heedful means you are very calm, very peaceful, very still, silent, without thought. That is your true mind. That is your beautiful mind state. No agitation, nothing. Silent, peaceful, with inner peace, inner calmness, inner joy, stillness. This is what meditation is all about. And through that silence, you can understand many things. Through that silence and stillness, there is clarity. There is sensitivity. There is this mindfulness that can allow you to understand many, many things. So all these are the important understanding. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Means we are inviting all the devas to come and attend our sharing so that they can also benefit. Then in return, they will rejoice. And most of these devas who like this type of teaching, they are Dhamma protectors. They will protect us. They will protect the Buddha Sasana. They will long maintain the dispensation. That's the reason why, you know, closing puja, we will invite them to partake in all this. So now I will read the English. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. Nibbana is the enlightened state, is the meaning of enlightenment in the Buddhist terminology. When you become enlightened, you realize Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now I will chant the Pali. Then after that, we will go through the salutation to the Buddha, which is Vandana. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. So we repeat 3 times, but in Pali. Then we chant the salutation to the Buddha, the first of the Triple Gem, the 9 great virtue. Then we chant the salutation to the Dhamma, so that we understand what this Dhamma is all about. The Dhamma is the teaching, the truth. And this truth has a lot of characteristics. So when you meditate, you do it correctly, you will experience everything that is mentioned in the salutation to the Dhamma. That this Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanaiko, pachyatang, veditabo, vinohiti. So the English translation on the right explain them all. You go back and read, you will understand. Then the last of the Triple Gem is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. They call it the Sangha. So Sangha Vandana means salutation to the Sangha. This one explained to us clearly the conduct, the behavior of enlightened disciple of the Buddha. They have 4 great conduct. They have good conduct. upright conduct, wise conduct, and they hold on to their precepts. They are very conscientious of their duty. That's a dutiful conduct. Their duty against law of karma, they will not violate. They will perform their duty as a responsible human being, as a responsible person. So that human being can take the role of parents, children, friends, employer, employee, loved one, neighbors, or whatever. So you have your duty. Each and every role you take, you have a duty. And that duty will protect you from making mistakes. Means you are conscientious. You are trustworthy. You do your duty. You don't violate the nature's law. So we will now start the puja chanting, the Pali, page 6. Samanta cakawalesu atra gacantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Ittipeso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sawakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Nyāya Panno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Sāmīci Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho Yadidāṁ Chatari Purisa Yukāni Ata purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punya ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Rupa Jama. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can sit, be seated, just relax body and mind, and maintain some form of mindfulness or attentiveness. When you are attentively listening without thought, you are mindful. So when you listen, you just listen with an open mind, silent everything. Don't allow your views, opinion, conditioning to come and interfere with your listening. Just listen, like a kid. When you listen, you learn very fast. That's why the children, the kid, they learn very fast. They just listen. They don't know anything, like a clean slate. Then they learn very fast. Of course, good and bad also, you learn very fast. But in this particular case, because it is the Dhamma, so when you learn the true teaching, the Dhamma, the truth, you will understand many things. Then you will understand that these are very important and very powerful truth that can allow you to understand life, the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then you will know how to live life. Then you can understand yourself, your own physical human form and mind, or the human being. You can find out what is it. Who are you? What are you? Then how do you come to this world? The form and mind is born into this world, you know. But do you know what the form and mind is? And what is your true nature within? The form and mind is just consciousness and the physical body. That is like a vehicle and a tool for you to come. And this one is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world. This one is not you. When you silence everything, when the mundane mind does not arise, when the consciousness is quiet, peaceful, then you will experience your true mind, because your true mind, that nature, is connected to the form and mind. So when the form and mind is completely quiet, doesn't come out and disturb, you will experience your true mind, your silent mind. And that is the one that can give rise to understanding. That is the meditative mind. So that understanding is very, very important. I will go through it later. So tonight we will allow Sister Hui Rong, where are you? To continue her sharing. We were at the Buddha's ministry, chapter 12, I think somewhere in the towards the later part already. Come, I pass you the mic. So you all listen. We make it a point every week somebody come out and share. Tonight is the second round. Okay, all right. You can introduce yourself first, so that everybody get to know you.
Brother Diu, Mrs. Diu, 各位卡亚纳米达，大家好。很不好意思，我今天还是要讲中文。因为如果叫我讲英文的话，我会变成是在上英文课，不是在上达玛课。
对对 ，No problem。
所以巴德丢要帮我。
可以可以 ，No problem。
我们上次最后这一章我们是讲的前九年达玛布达的那个下安居的一些故事。
Yeah.
那今天我们就从第十年开始讲起。在第十年的时候，其实在第九年布达在国桑比的时候，其实那时候在僧团里面分成两个派，一边是比较 focus 在戒律，那一边是比较 focus 在米拉亚，就是经典方面的。那这两边各有各的坚持，那而且甚至百瑞这两派我从我这样子看起来，我觉得好像没有什么抵触，可是可能很多细节方面他们各有各的坚持，所以变成两派人 处得非常的不好，而且是水火不容，甚至让布达，其实布达也有劝告他们很多，可是其实他们都听不下去。所以布达在第十年这一年的时候，他觉得他们很烦，然后说也说不听，所以布达突然想说离家出走，也就是说他一个人在没有通知任何人的情况之下，他选择到 forest 里面去安居。那这一年其实也就是说他是没有跟桑嘎一起度过。那就我们的课本里面提到说，每天大象跟猴子都对他供养。那我认为这句话以现代人来想，觉得这可能是一个神话。可是我觉得应该把它这样子讲，应该是说布达他在 forest 里面的修行，其实跟整个 forest 结合在一起，不论是生物或者是非生物或者是植物动物，可能他就是他们都已经融合在一起。我觉得这样子讲会比较，应该比较合理哈。所以我觉得那不是重点，是不是真的猴子大象有 offering 给
offer food
啊？我觉得这个就无所谓了啊。这个是第十年，所以第十年布达是独自一个人在森林里面过了很平静的一年。好，那第十一年这边呢，其实这是一个很有趣的故事。第十一年的话是在Akana Brahmin Village。那在这一年布达讲了 Kasibara Divaja Sutra。那其实这一个它是有一个故事的，也就是说有一次佛陀出去托钵的时候，那时候婆罗门正准备耕田，他准备了五张犁要耕田。那当他要耕田的时候，那他们在托钵当然就是站在那边等待人家 offer 他们。那个婆罗门我觉得他应该是蛮骄傲的，他就觉得你又在那边等着我们给你 offering， 所以他就开口说了跟布达说，我们有食物可以吃，是因为我们很勤劳在耕田。那你也应该要耕田呐，否则你怎么可以有饭吃呢？那你看布达怎么回答他？布达说，我也在耕田，我也是在耕田，可是那个耕田不是你们所谓的耕田。我们继续看他说那个婆罗门就问布达说，我没有看过你在耕田啊，为什么你说你在耕田？布达就说了下面这一段他说我用萨达为种子，萨达就是信，
yeah，
然后
肺、
然后我以 Tabo 为雨水，就是下雨来浇水， Tabo 就是戒然后我以 Panya 就是智慧为牛轭，牛轭就是牛跟它后面耕田的那个工具之间连接的那个工具然后 Hiri 是我的犁具， Hiri 就是中道。然后我以意志为缰绳，我以舍地为牛鞭。然后这句话我觉得对我来讲很重要言行谨慎，饭食适量，就是说我平常我就是很注意我的言语，然后我也不吃太多吃刚刚好就好了，我不要 attach， 不要 craving 在 food 上面然后以真诚去除杂草，这个杂草指的应该就是心中的杂草然后以禅定达到圆满的解脱那其实这个就是他所谓的，其实 婆罗门他是在耕所谓真实的田，可是布达说的 这番话其实他是在讲他在耕我们每个人心里面的田。其实这个无形的田比所谓有形的田来的还要重要，所以布达这样子回他，他说这样子的耕种哦才会结出不会不死的果实，然后才可以真正获得自在。那你那样子的耕田，其实你只是满足了你的日常所需要的食物，可是你可能忘记了心里面的心田，那才是更重要的。那那个婆罗门听了布达这一番话之后，他就知道布达不是普通的人，普通人不会这样子讲。普通人可能顶多说哦，是哦，我都没有耕田，可是怎么样怎么样。可是布达就告诉他心田的重要，他马上端了一碗奶油的米饭出来要 offer 给布达，可是布达拒绝，因为布达说他不要所谓的不很诚心诚意的供养，他觉得那种供养其实是没有效的，我们必须要很诚心的相信，而且必须再来进行供养，这样子的供养才是真正的供养。这个就好像当我们在泰国，我们常常在早上的时候都会看到很多的出家人出来托钵，那很多人其实都是习惯上的供养，看到有monk站在那边，我就是供养。可是当你在供养的时候，你是不是很诚心诚意的皈依所谓的布达达玛桑嘎？在那时候你的心情是什么样的？我讲一个例子好了。我曾经有一次去槟城，然后我的 husband 在 hotel 睡觉，我就自己跑出去逛逛，然后那时候刚好我有看到一个出家人在菜市场旁边，他就站在那个小贩的旁边在那边托钵。我那时候觉得那时候我升起那种我觉得怎么他可以站在那边，那这样子每个人就这样子直接买然后给他，这样子我觉得好像太方便他，好像他在等着人家。那其实可是我事后我会觉得我怎么可以有这样的想法，这个想法是我的想法，是我帮他贴了一个标签在那边，我怎么可以把他想的那么negative。所以我看到这一段的时候，我就想到那时候我跟这个婆罗门好像也没两样。所以当我们在做 offering 的时候，其实我觉得不需要去想很多，可是就是凭着你对布达达玛桑嘎的 faith， 然后你来供养，我觉得这样子的话会而且是没有目的的供养，我觉得这样才是比较有意义的。这个是第十一年布达在那个婆罗村发生的一段故事。然后第十二年呢你会发现每一年都是不同的地方。第十二年是在 Viraja 呢，这边呢当布达到了 Viraja 这个地方的时候，刚好那一带在闹饥荒，所以那时候呢都不够吃，更何况是拿出来 offer 给出家人。那可是这个时候有一些麻烦就是卖马的一些商人，他就把他们本来在 给马吃的饲料 offer 出来给布达，可是布达也很不介意。其实应该是这样讲，不论我们 offer 什么，其实他都是，其实怎么讲，就好像我们每天不论你 offer 什么，其实对他们来讲，其实他们都是一样的。就好像这个马贩，他把本来是要给马吃的饲料 offer 给布达，可是布达还是很高兴的接受，因为他认为只要是人们的 offer， 他都是非常高兴的接受，然后不认为那个是马吃的食物啊。然后这个是题外话。那其实这一年主要要讲的是哈，沙利普特有一次在 meditation 之后出来之后，他就问了布达一个问题，就是说布达的提区呢，哪一些是可以持久，哪一些是不能够维持长久的？就是说有一些教法是很快就会没有了，可是有一些却可以一直保留下去呢。那布达在这边呢，就其实提出了所谓的戒律的这个问题。因为在僧团刚组织而成的时候，其实没有所谓的戒律。那就好像我从小我认为佛教有很多的戒律，这个不可以，那个不可以。那其实在布达那个时代是没有所谓的戒律的。可是布达这样子回答 Shariputra， 他说没有他提了几个人的教法哈，是不能够持续多久，可是有些人的教法却可以一直长久流传下去。布达认为他最大的一个不同，就是因为有一些如来他制定了一些桑哈的规范，然后让他们的弟子能够守清规，没有犯戒律，也就是说在很好的环境之下，这些达妈才能一直他的教法才能够一直流传下去。那时候虽然佛教说那既然这样子，他就跟布达提说，那赶快我们来制定一套戒律，让我们的达玛可以一直流传下去。可是布达并没有同意，因为其实布达是很，他是不会做出那种明明还没发生，可是他就列了一大堆规范出来说你不可以怎样，不可以怎样。他其实是必须等到有因缘成熟了之后，他才会制定那个东西的。他不会说今天你要当你要出家当我的，跟我一起修行，你必须遵守一二三四五六七这些规范，其实他不会这样子的所以这个就是很有名的一句中文叫做随缘成智，随犯自戒。这句话的意思就是说，他并不会很刻意说要怎么样。那像我会误解说佛教有很多这个不可以那个不可以，其实应该都是后来的僧团或者是后来的人所制定的。那这边既然我们讲到戒律其实他后来有提到其实在这一年，这个沙利普特问的这个问题，其实就是所谓的制定十波罗夷的开端，帕迪摩卡的开端。那所谓的十波罗夷，其实就是一个，就是因为我们说人有所谓的十大恶业。十大恶业我想大家都听过，就是所谓就是什么杀盗淫妄不喝酒不说四重过，不可以只是称赞自己，然后毁谤他人，然后不要贪，然后不可以不受毁，然后或毁谤三宝，这些其实就是所谓针对人的 body speech and mind， 就身与意这三方面在所制定的一些规范。那这些规范呢出家众有出家众的规范， 在家种又有在家啊，我们一般修行我们就说我们有什么 five preset 啦，还有什么 five preset 啦 eight preset 啊，很多这些其实哦，我想问大家一个问题，你认为戒律可以去除人的习性吗？大家明白什么叫习性？就是比方说，我有比方说了哈，我很喜欢贪小便宜，哦，可是我在戒律，我都会提醒自己说，哦，不可以怎么样，不可以贪，哦，所以我们就不会去犯这个戒。可是，当你的习气其实有时候是，会突然跑出来 test 你一下，好，那个习气，你认为戒律可以去除掉你的习气吗
？Very good question. Yeah.
因为哦，我们说哦，戒定慧，其实戒只是一个开始而已。可是那个戒可以让你把你一些你自己都很讨厌的习气给去掉吗？我以前觉得戒是很消极的阻止。可是后来我觉得，尤其是我认为说，如果你是一个佛教徒，你很知道 low karma 之后，哪里还需要戒啊
？Yeah, very good.
因为你都很明白 low karma， 你怎么可能会去做这些事呢
？Yeah.
所以我觉得，为什么要很 focus 在这个戒上面？可是其实你要知道，所有的人想法不一定跟你一样，也不是你的想法就是对的。那个当事人可能在无知的状况之下，他不知道那个叫做贪或嗔或痴，他在不无明的情况之下所以因为有太多种人了，所以你认为对的，他不一定会认为对所以我以前也觉得啊，我对就是我对，怎么可以？你说你对，我说我对，我认为对就是对，所以我认为我对的时候，我就会很大声。可是我后来觉得，你的想法，我的想法，跟别人是不一样的，也不一定我的才是对。所以我后来会觉得说，其实戒其实是在帮你从日常生活中把一些比较明显的一些错误去掉，可是真正的习气呢，就这就好像哦，我们在读书的时候，学校有很多校规，不可以留长头发，不可以什么什么，可是你一出的学校，你明明知道那些其实是不好习惯，可是你还是会犯呐，对不对？这就好像在日常生活中，如果说因为有很多的戒律，我觉得我以前就不会当佛教徒，因为我觉得我最讨厌人家说这个不可以，那个不可以。可是当你后来，我认为当你很了解这些戒律在讲什么，其实它都是很人生的基本道理罢了。他并不是要你做什么圣人，他只是基本的道理耶。那你连基本的道理都做不到，你不要讲说你很了解什么叫 low karma， 对不对？
Yeah.
所以可是哦，我刚刚提到的习气，我认为很比较细小的一些习气是没办法，我不知道各位怎么想。我觉得很难用戒律来克服，我觉得还是必须靠智慧才能够，而且是到最后你根本不认为它是戒律，你认为那是好像理所当然就是这样，它不是戒律。我不知道大家觉得怎么样。这就好像我刚刚讲的那个十波罗夷人的十大恶业啊，什么贪嗔痴什么什么什么，当然你会尽量去避免，可是这个就好像 很拍水，我刚刚我们在传 offering 的时候，就掉下去。其实为什么你知道吧？除了是我自己不 mindfulness 之外，真的有点我在看到这个那一盘那个应该是饼干吧齁，我看到的时候我突然有一个想法说这个我爸爸一定很喜欢，那个想法一出来那个饼干就掉下去了哇我吓一跳怎么我在做 offering 的时候我还想到这个我爸爸应该很喜欢那这个就表示其实当我们在人在生活的时候呢，你会很不经意的有一些你的小毛病会跑出来，那难道是你不知道吗？其实你很心里知道，可是它还是会跑出来。所以这个东西有办法用戒律来克服吗？对，可是我认为那是忍耐，我不认为那个是克服
yeah,
、如果你很了解的话，其实你都不用忍耐。
Yeah, no need to do anything. The understanding will free the mind.
所以当你的习气跑出来的时候，你就必须再 train 你自己的 mind。那这个时候就不是所谓的戒律可以这么轻易把你的习气给拔除，这个真的就是需要智慧了。
Sadhu, very good. OK，还有吗？你
我才刚讲到十二年。
不要紧。你这一段的 this section 你还有东西讲？
这一段我讲完了，就是戒律的部分。
很好，不要太久，因为。不能记得，这一段很重要。This just now that particular year that happened, I think it's year 12, isn't it? Year 12, because of the argument between the monks, focus on that one is 11.Oh, that one is 10. okay. 12 years Varanja. Okay, Varanja, hearing the Buddha was residingfamine. Oh, he was given the 那个马的那个什么是吧？
哦，那个是第十一年。
十一啊？这十二是到哪里？
十二是那个。
Wait, That is year 11.
其实是十二啦，对呀。
Yeah, lah, this is year 12.
十二是马的那个。
Yeah, lah, this is year 12, yeah, correct. So,From there, I think the Buddha is trying to teach that particular Brahmin. Because according to the Brahmin, he said, we work very hard on our field. Then you just, as a monk, you don't plow, you don't do anything. You stand there, you expect us to offer you food. So based on human logic,that Brahmin appear to be very logical, isn't it? But the way the Buddha actually replied to him, let him understand a lot of things. So he told the Brahmin, he said, not only you plow, I also plow. He said, I also sow the seed. Then I also eat what I plow. But this is in the spiritual sense,that the Brahmin cannot understand. But finally, the Brahmin also, because of past condition, he knew for a monk to speak that way means he is not an ordinary monk. Then what happened was, after the Buddha explained, it was so beautiful, Then Sariputta implored or asked the Buddha, respectfully asked the Buddha, is it? Because this is what he tried to preach. The Buddha attributed this to the fact that some Buddha did not make great effort in preaching the Dhamma in detail and promulgated no rules and regulation for the discipline of the disciple, means the Patimokkha, the monk's rule, while other Buddha did. So when Sariputta asked the question, he said to the Buddha, he said, respectfully, he said, I'd like to know which Buddha's dispensation endured long and which one did not. Then the Buddha replied that the dispensation of Buddha Vipassi, Sikhi, and Visambhu did not endure long, while the dispensation of Buddha Kakusanda, Kanagamana, and Kassapa endure long. Then the Buddha attributed this to the fact that some Buddha did not make great effort to preach the Dhamma in detail and promulgated no rules and regulation for the discipline of the disciple, while other Buddhas did so. So that is the difference. So if you do not put in great effort on developing the teaching, the Dhamma, and set the Vinaya rule or the monk's rule, then this one, the sasana will not last. Then there are other Buddha who did. Those Buddha, the sasana last. Thereupon, Venerable Sariputta respectfully implored the Buddha to promulgate the fundamental principle. Oh, sorry, the fundamental precepts, means the Patimokkha, so that he wants the sasana to last long for the future discipline of the Sangha, so that the holy life may endure long. Then the Buddha told Sariputta, he said, be patient, Sariputta, said the Buddha, and added, the Tathagata alone is aware of the time for it. Means, like Huirong say, you cannot fix it now. It depends on condition. When there is condition, when condition arise, he will fix it. That's why he used the word sui yan. Until certain defiling condition arise in the Sangha, the Tathagata does not promulgate means of discipline for the disciple and does not lay down the fundamental precept or Patimokkha. When such defiling condition arise in the Sangha, then only the Tathagata promulgate means of discipline and lay down the fundamental precepts for the disciple in order to eradicate such defilement. When Sariputta, the Sangha attains long-standing, full development, great increase in gain, and greatness in erudition, defiling condition arise in the Sangha. Then the Tathagata promulgate means of discipline and the fundamental precepts to prevent such defilements. So that is the understanding. Means you accord and flow. When there is a need, you introduce. When there is no need, you don't introduce. Then the next page is very important. This is the reason why the Buddha actually refused to introduce in the early years. Then, if you may recall, last time I used to share with you all, when it started, the Buddha with the five ascetic, there was no Patimokkha. Don't have 227 precepts. Just the five precepts is sufficient. Then later on, as the Sangha developed, more and more monks, they come and join. Then not all are enlightened. Yeah. Initially, a lot are enlightened. I read to you this section, you will know. He told Sariputta, the order of disciple is free from trouble, devoid of evil tendency, free from stain, pure and well established in virtue. The last of my 500 disciples is a Sotapan, means the first 500 that he recruited, all of them are enlightened beings. Even the last one is at least a Sotapan, means first stage of sainthood. not liable to fall. Because once you are a Sotapan, you maximum 7 births in the sensual realm. Then after that, you will attain your enlightenment or arahantship. You will never fall. Then as a Sotapan, you will never take rebirth in the four woeful state unless you choose to through the Bodhisattva vow. So because of that, he told Sariputta not to hold on to all these things because this has its condition. Then Hui Rong, I think we should sadhu her, rejoice, because her sharing today was very good. Means she has prepared very well. Oh, and she used Mandarin, you know. I will explain this. Because later on, he throw a question for discussion about precepts. Because this is about precept. So I like to add on to what she said, which was very good. Yeah? She asked this question. Can precepts alone take care of your defilement? Cannot. Huh? So you have what type of answer? Can or cannot? Huh? Yeah, of course, you know it's wisdom that free. But there is a lot of meaning, very deep. Yeah. Like Hui Rong, at first she said she thought Buddhism got a lot of precepts. And she would not have become a Buddhist if she were to know that there are so many precepts. Because to her it's like, this type of thing is like make life difficult. Eh? Everything cannot. This one cannot, that one cannot. Restrictions and all those things. But she brought out a very good point, is it? If precept cannot deal with defilement, then why do we keep precepts? Why do you keep precepts? Every day you have been chanting. Yeah? But because we are not at the retreat, that's why I didn't chant to you the meaning of precepts. Yeah? So later on you go to the retreat, then we will have that chant. Sīlena sukanti yanti. Sīlena bhoga sabbadan. Sīlena nimuntin yanti. So these are the three great benefits of precepts. The Buddha said, if you hold your precepts, precept is the source of what? Huh? Sukanti yanti is what? Huh? Happiness, is it? Joy. Huh? So if you keep your precept, you have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, but you don't violate karma. You don't create negativity of karma. You don't harm people. You don't kill people. You don't deceive and cheat on people. You don't commit all those karmic negativity that lead to evil friction. And because of that, you are peaceful. You are happy. So the first one is, if you keep your precept, it's the source of spiritual joy or spiritual happiness. You will have good life, happy life. Then the second one is, if you keep your precept, it's a source of spiritual wealth. That one is very important. Why is it a source of spiritual wealth? Because if you keep your precept, it's a meritorious action. Understand that? You don't harm people, you don't kill people, you don't cheat and deceive people, you don't commit negativity. That itself is meritorious. Then when you keep your precept, you are normally in the environment of cultivation. Initially, maybe you go to temple, then you attend retreat, or you attend what they call mind training session and all those things. And most of it is listening to Dhamma, sharing of Dhamma, Dhamma discussion, all those things. So when you are in an environment where people cultivate, people practice, people develop the Dhamma discussion and sharing, you will receive a lot of spiritual wealth. Then sometimes you go to this place, they make offering to the monks, dana. Sometimes they make offering to cultivator, virtuous people like our monthly house dana and all those things. Then you have opportunity to do a lot of spiritual thing, listening to Dhamma, straightening your view. These are all meritorious actions. This bring about spiritual understanding. These are spiritual wealth that you receive. That's why it's a source of spiritual wealth. Then when you make offering to the monk, in return, they share the Dhamma with you, they give you blessing, they chant all the well-being verses for you. So all this will lead to a lot of understanding of the spiritual teaching. That's why it is a source of spiritual wealth. Then the last one is Silena Nibunti Nyanti. Precept is a source of spiritual peacefulness of mind. If you keep your precept, means you are peaceful, you are calm, you are restrained, you are not heedless, you are not restless. Then when you keep your precept, your mind is very conducive for meditation. Because if you keep your precept, you got less problem, true or not? If you don't kill, don't harm, don't violate the nature's law, police won't come after you. Understand or not? The company won't charge you for CBT and all those things. Then you have less problem in life. Less problem is less mental problem, less worry, less anxiety, less restlessness of mind. So all these five mental hindrances, they are so much less. That's why precept is the starting point. If you don't keep precept, you cannot proceed with the meditation. Your condition is very, very adverse. So even though precept cannot free you, but like Hui Rong mentioned, it's very important. When you have the training, you understand why you keep precept. Ah, that is very important. Then that training itself will help you in your cultivation and practice. Where you understand what constitutes evil, like Hui Rong said, greed, hatred, and delusion. And you go into it. What constitutes greed? It's not just greediness. All of your craving, your lust, your desire, your deceitfulness, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, things that you want to hold on to, control, like your loved one, you want to control them, you become very possessive. All these are part and parcel of greed. Then all of your selfishness is greediness. Then your like, your dislike, envy, jealousy, all these are your ill will. Then your delusion is all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your lack of understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. So all this, when you know that they are evil roots, roots of all evil, can make you evil and cause your karma to fall, means it can give rise to problem for you in future. So this understanding will wake you up. Then finally, the five daily contemplation, the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So our entire life depends on karma. If you don't take care of karma, your life will be miserable. So this understanding will wake you up. That's why you intend on taking care of karma. And how to take care of karma? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. To avoid all evil, you have to keep precept. Because those who violate the precept, they are evil people. You can go and check all the five precepts. Who break them? Like killing. The first precept is we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who will kill and harm? Deluded people, selfish people, angry people, violent people. All the three evil roots are there. That's why you don't keep your precept. Your karma will be afflicted. Your karma will fall and your life, which depend on it, will become afflicted and miserable. So this is the reason why once you have that understanding, you will maintain your precept because it's not worthwhile to break them. If you break your precept, you cause your karmic negativity and downfall. Your life will be affected because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. and you are what you are because of it. Then you reap what you sow. Whatever you do or do people, it will come back to you as fruition. So this understanding will allow you to maintain your precept. And when you maintain your precept, your virtue is very, very well protected. If you don't create condition for karmic negativity, your life will be very well protected. That's why keeping precept is very important, even though it cannot free you, it cannot deal with defilements. But when you have precept, samadhi kick in. And what is samadhi? What is samadhi? The samadhi perfecter is actually mindfulness and samadhi. You need mindfulness to have samadhi. When you stabilize the mindfulness, it becomes samadhi. So samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. So when your mind can remain collected and unwavering, then it can meditate. Where these are spiritual faculties, then it can see things as they are. You become very mindful, and your mindfulness is so stable. So in the midst of life, your daily mindfulness, when you see something, hear something, smell something, tactilely feel something or think of something, your mind does not stir, does not waver, because it is collected, unwavering. So at the moment of sense experience, you are calm, you are peaceful, you have clarity. That's how you understand, because you can see things as they are. Your mind, your memory, your conditioning will not come and interfere. Means you don't act according to memory. You see the truth and the reality in the here and the now as it is, without any views, opinion or conditioning. Yeah, or belief system to distort what you see. Then wisdom arises. It is wisdom that liberates the mind. When there is wisdom, actually you don't need precepts. But before that, you need precept. That's why without precept, the sasana will fall. The sasana will become very short. Like this world, if everybody don't keep precept, what will happen to the world? Chaotic, isn't it? It's just like they say free for all. So free for all means what? You can do what you like. I tell you, the world will be in chaos, disorder, no more order. But if each and everyone through this understanding able to cultivate restraint, then everybody keeps precept, the world will be beautiful. Because if you don't harm, don't kill, everybody also the same. So this world will be a different world. It will be a very, very beautiful world. And consciousness will evolve until it's very beautiful. So this is something that humanity need to understand and develop the clear understanding. Then, like Hui Rong give the example, you bought what? A piece of what? Biscuit or what? Pingkan so what? Biscuit? Biscuit. Then suddenly the thought, my father may like it. You have this, right? Because you love your father so much. And you know what your father like and what your father don't like. But don't worry, this is not a defilement. Although you're supposed to be aware and mindful, this type of thought can arise, understand or not? Because thought is respond to memory. Because when you are observant, when you observe what your father like, like today, I heard my wife told me, Vivian specially bought me mama. She said she heard me say, I like me mama. Which is true. That's why I say, thank you, sadhu. But don't purposely buy next time. You have that kind thought, well and good, I rejoice. If you purposely buy too much, because I think tonight a lot of food, but don't worry, you all can top out back. You all can top out back. So it's very kind of her, I rejoice. But if everybody has the same thought, how? Me, mama, 12, 15 pack. Wow, then you got problem. So please, if got condition, do, understand not? If that thought come to you, like what happened to Vivian, oh, then do. But don't because I mention it, wow, maybe next Tuesday, everybody buy me more. Then it become crazy, isn't it? But I think Kaya Mita won't do that, I know. They just rejoice because we have the understanding. Mm. So all this is part and parcel of life. Thought is respond to memory. So when you remember what people like or what people tell you they like, and for good intention you keep in your memory, then when the condition arise, just like Huirong, he saw the biscuit, then he recall, well, my dad will like. So he can buy, and she can develop the joy. You don't call this distraction, understand? When you cultivate mindfulness, it doesn't mean you have to be ever mindful only of the Dhamma, understand? Because you have to live life. This is part and parcel of Noble Eightfold Path, understand? Right thought, kind thought, benevolent thought. When you have kind thought, when you have love for your parents, you think of them, understand? Then you try to create understanding so that you can have the condition to buy something that they like and make offering to them. Then they will have a lot of joy because when they know that their beloved daughter can remember what they want to eat and what they like, this is Dhamma. And when Dhamma arises, there is joy, there is happiness. Able to give joy to your parents, to your loved one, is a very, very wholesome mind state. And that brings about harmony, understanding, love. So it will improve your relationship. It will give them more moments of happiness, more moments of good mind state. Otherwise, if you are not careful, your relationship, your family unit may not be what you want, understand? Because everyone is selfish, egoic. Then you never think of others. You only think of your self-interest. Then you are not caring. You are not loving. You don't have that, what they call, appreciative mind to have gratitude towards your loved one, for your parents who has gave you life, give birth to you, sacrifice for you, take care of you, provide for you, do everything for you, and even sacrifice for your well-being and happiness. So all these are virtues that you can develop. That is part and parcel of Dhamma practice, Noble Eightfold Path. So you will have right thought, leading to right speech, right action. You will speak appropriately, act appropriately. And all this bring about harmony, joy. Then you develop gentleness, kindness, pleasantness of body action and speech. And this is how Dhamma cultivation can bring about real improvement in relationship, improvement in developing the harmony. Then there is a lot of joy that comes with all this understanding. Then you will realize there is less and less of this disagreement, disharmony, negativity of mind state. There is only love, there is only joy, there is only peacefulness of mind, clarity, understanding, and all of the good things, the virtuous things. So this part, I feel that Huirong presented it very well. We stop at year 12. Then I will go on to the earlier one because I want to give her one more session. She is very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we reserve for him. For her, sorry. Then now I go back to the first two. Even the year 10. Year 10 was very good. Year 10. Oh, yeah, then we finish, huh? Okay, I go to year 10. Huh? Well, the Buddha was residing in Kosambi. A dispute arose. Ah, this one very good. Between two parties of bhikkhu. One versed in the Dhamma and the other in the Vinaya. Dhamma means they put more emphasis on the teaching. Understand? The teaching. Then the other one put more emphasis on the monk's rules, Vinaya. Vinaya is the monk's rule. With respect to the transgression of a minor rule of etiquette in the lavatory. Wow, in the toilet also got problem. And because of this problem, their respective supporter, that's why when you divide them into a group, you will have problem. Were divided into two sections. Even the Buddha could not settle the difference of this quarrelsome monk. We are on page 213, on top there. They were abandoned and would not listen even to the advice of the Buddha. So the Buddha thought, under present condition, the jostling crowd in which I live makes my life one of discomfort. I think this one is not correct, the word. How can the Buddha become discomfort? Understand? He just understand that the condition is not conducive for him to stay with them. Because when the disciple doesn't listen to him, doesn't obey him, means they don't need him. Understand? Means he is like redundant there. In Cantonese they say toyi. So he just go away into the forest. So he spent his life in the forest. Then later on, not written here, but I was told the Jataka story continue. Finally, Sariputta also count him, also cannot handle. Sariputta has to go back and persuade the Buddha to come out. Then get the two sections to agree, not to quarrel anymore. Then only the Buddha agreed to come out. That was the solution. Then it seems when the Buddha was in the forest, there were many beautiful stories. Then, according to the sutta here, they say, suppose I were to retire from the haunts of man and live a life of solitude in pursuit of that understanding. They use the word thought, which is wrong. Without even informing the Sangha, alone, he went off. Means he didn't even tell Sariputta or Moggallana or any monk. He just disappeared. He retired to the Parileyaka forest and spent the rains retreat at the foot of the beautiful Sala tree. Chewoni the mic. Because the battery got sound already, like you want to run out. So we used the mic. So what happened was, he spent the whole of the rains retreat in the forest alone. But even though Ananda was not there, no attendant, nothing, you think the Buddha cannot find food? It seems, according to the Jataka story, it was on this occasion, according to the story, that an elephant and a monkey ministered to his need. Means they take care of him. Whatever he wants, they take care of him. But according to one Jataka story, these are actually devas that take the transformation to serve him. So whatever it is, you got good parami. You will have people around to serve you. So this part was very, very beautiful and very useful. Okay, based on what was discussed, I think this was mainly what Hui Rong shared, and the Mandarin version was even more beautiful. Those who understand Mandarin, and she was very well prepared. Maybe she got 2-3 weeks to prepare. So in a way, it's blessing in disguise. We allow her the proper rest and proper occasion to do all this. Yeah. Okay, then I will go on to the other one. The 11th year. At Ikanala Brahmin village. The following Kasibaravacha Sutta was delivered during the 11th year. On one occasion, the Buddha was residing at Ikanala in Dakshinagiri, the Brahmin village in Magadha. Magadha. At that time, about 500 plows, means farmers, belonging to the Kasibaravara Brahmin, means he's a very rich Brahmin, were harnessed for the sowing. Thereupon, the exalted one, means the Buddha, in the forenoon, means during near midday, where they go for Pindapat, dressed himself and taking bow and rope, went to the working place of the Brahmin. At that time, the distribution of food by the Brahmin was taking place. The Buddha went to the place where food was being distributed and stood aside. Then the Brahmin Kasibaravacha saw the Buddha waiting for alms. Seeing him, he spoke thus. He said, "I, O ascetic, plow and sow, and having plow and sow, I ate. You also, O ascetic, should plow and sow, and having plow and sow, you should eat." You understand the comment? It means this Brahmin, he got 500 plow, means under his employment. So they did all the sowing, plowing, and all the farming for him. That's why after that they can line up and have their food. So he told the Buddha, he said, "You as an ascetic, a monk, you should also work for your own food. You should also plow and sow. We are during the olden days, civilization is just agriculture. You cannot, like nowadays, got industrialization, got all the great improvement in the way we do our thing. So there is e-commerce, everything. We can have money to buy things. You know. Last time cannot. Everything also, you got to grow yourself or plant yourself. Then from there, maybe you barter trade with people. Then transportation may not be like today. Advancement in science and technology may not be like today. So later on, the agricultural revolution improved the food supply and supply chain. So because of that, the Brahmin told the monk. Then the Buddha replied, this one you must listen. "I too, O Brahmin, plow and sow. Having plow and sow, I ate," said the Buddha. When he said that, the Brahmin thought he lied. You know. The Brahmin said, "But we see not the Venerable Gotama's yoke or plow." Means you don't even have your yoke or plow. So how can you say you also plow? Or plowshare, or goat, or oxen. Means you don't even have a ox, or what they call cow. Abet, the Venerable Gotama said, "I too plow and sow, and having plow and sow, I ate," remarked the Brahmin. Then the Brahmin, Brahma Raja, addressed the Exalted One thus, "A farmer you claim to be, but we see none of your tillage. Being questioned about plowing, please answer us so that we may know your plowing." Because they want to see him plowing. And the Buddha used the spiritual understanding to let him understand. You listen to this. He said, "Sada, or confidence in the Buddha in his teaching, is the seed. That's why without this sada, you cannot plant the Bodhi mind. Understand? You must have faith and sincerity. Remember the book, Blue Book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. To plant the seed of Bodhi, you must have faith and sincerity. Without faith and sincerity, you cannot do it. You have to determine through your faith.
you understand this teaching is very beautiful, and you are very sincere. You want to go this way. That's why you must have faith, and this is the seed. That's why the Bodhi mind, the Bodhi seed. Then discipline, which is the sila, is the rain. See? If you don't keep your precept, you don't have the condition for the seed to germinate. Do you understand? You need water, not too much, but you need water. So if you don't have precept, it's like you are dry, barren. No precept means no merit. Your precept is a meritorious action, one of the 10 meritorious actions. Without precept, you don't have the spiritual joy or spiritual happiness. Without precept, you don't have spiritual calmness, peacefulness. Without precept, you don't have spiritual wealth. So the base for you to progress along the path of Dhamma, you don't have. So that's why you need precepts. Then wisdom is my yoke and plow. Yoke and plow means you have to really do a lot of work. So in life, without wisdom, you cannot do it well. So you need wisdom to do the work. Means he compare wisdom as his yoke and plow. Then he say modesty. Modesty means you are not arrogant. You are very modest, very simple. It's like the pole of my plow. If you don't have modesty, very arrogant, you will not be able to do it properly. You will have a lot of problems with other people. Then the mind, mano, is the one that read. And mindfulness is the plowshare and God. So this one is very important. You need all the four. Wisdom, modesty, the proper mind guided by wisdom. Then you need mindfulness, awareness, sati. And through this, you say, I am controlled in body, controlled in speech, and temperate in food. With body, speech, and action, is well taken care of because of the mind state that he has. Then they don't overeat. They don't overeat. They don't indulge. Then with truthfulness, I cut away all the weeds. Truthfulness is a parami, is a perfection. Means you hold on to your truth, your sincere speeches. You are very truthful. You never lie. You never deceive. You never cheat. You never abuse and do all those things. So with truthfulness, I cut away the weed. Means, you know what are weed? Weed are the unwanted plant that spoil your produce. Whatever you plant, your produce, if there are weeds, it will actually disrupt your farming. So you have to remove all this weed. So with with truthfulness, this weed cannot grow because you never make mistake. Negativity of mind state doesn't arise. Then here the word is wrong. Absorption in the highest. Arahantship is the release of the oxen. Means you don't have to plow anymore, because you have realized the enlightenment, which is the deathless. You have gone beyond birth and death. You don't need food anymore. That's why he used the word absorption in the highest. No, not absorption. The realization of nirvana, leading to arahantship, is the release of the oxen. Means you don't need to plow anymore. Then perseverance. Actually, it should be spiritual zeal, virya. When you persevere also, it's like you have spiritual zeal to go this way. It's my beast of burden that carries me towards the free, born free state. Means this one is the driving force that drives you to cultivate diligently, sincerely, without turning, it goes, and having gone, it does not grieve. So, wisdom is developed. Eh? Thus is the tilling done, it bears the fruit of deathlessness. That's why he will never die. He has gone beyond birth and death. Having done this tilling, one is free from all sorrow. Thereupon the Brahmin, Kasibara Varja, feeling a large bronze bowl with milk rice, offered it to the Exalted One, saying, may the Venerable Gotama eat the milk rice. The Venerable Gotama is a farmer. Since the Venerable Gotama tills a crop that bears the fruit of deathlessness, so he offered it to him. But the Exalted One, however, refused to accept this, saying, what is obtained by reciting verse is not fit to be eaten by me. You understand the meaning? Yeah? How many of you understand? Nobody understand? Or how many of you understand? Don't understand also, no hand out. Understand also. So what is happening? Neither understand or don't understand. Where got such position? Don't understand means sincerely say I don't understand, then I explain. How many of you don't understand? I see some hand, then I explain. Otherwise, you all are not playing a role. So this one I read again. You listen carefully. He said, the Venerable Gotama is a farmer. Since the Venerable Gotama tills a crop that bears the fruit of deathlessness, the Exalted One, however, refused to accept this saying. Means he repeats what the Buddha said. Do you understand? He don't have understanding. Like just now, Hui Rong was correct. He said, for a monk to say that, means this monk is not ordinary monk. Means he got something. Yao Liu To. So at least now he think, at least I should offer. But the Buddha actually want to train him and let him understand deeper. So that's why he said to the Brahmin, he said, I cannot accept this offering of food, because what is obtained by reciting verses is not fit to be eaten by him. This, O Brahmin, is not the rule of Shears. Shears means the real enlightened beings. The enlightened reject such food. While this principle lasts, this is the livelihood. So serving the unique, crankless, great sage of holy calm with other kind of food and drink, for he is like a field to you that desires to sow good deeds. So here what the Buddha is trying to tell this Brahmin is, you actually met a Samasa Buddha where the field of merit is immeasurable. Do you understand? And yet you don't develop the faith and sincerity to offer. Just because he said certain word which you think, I mistaken that he didn't plow and sow. That's why he should don't deserve to be given food. Then after the Buddha explained, he thought he deserved food, he just give to him like that, offer. You wasted your opportunity and condition, understand? Do you know when I was cultivating in the early years? In the early years, I think 1986, those years, 86, 87, 88, and coming to 89, I think 88 until 88. My faith was so strong. Then when I hear a good Dhamma talk, I will observe that monk or that speaker. Then I will rejoice. Then I will pay respect with faith, with determination. Very strong. Very strong. then I will try to buy something, make offering. And when I make offering, I make determination. Yeah. That's how this faith can drive you. This understanding can drive you. Then it's just like the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Like Pusien, Pusa's great vow, the 10 great vow. One vow to all Buddhas of the three period of time. So when this mind has the understanding, sincerity, the faith, the determination, every respect he did is like to the triple gem. Understand? The field of merit is immeasurable. That's why I say you don't need money to do great merits. You just sincerely with faith pay respect to the great beings. Your field of merit is immeasurable. Especially when you can develop the silent mind, the mindfulness, the heedfulness, the sincerity. That's why every action you do, the field of merit is immeasurable. Then you will reach a point where you understand merit got no more meaning. Understand? You don't just chase around to do merit. No more. That stage will pass. That's why after that, as it got condition, it will do. It still do. But no condition, no need. Because all these are for cultivator who still need the merit initially. Yeah. But later on, as you understand, especially our Diamond Sutta class, you remember? The field of merits that you cultivate is so different when you understand the Dhamma Sutta, the Diamond Sutta cultivation. What constitutes the highest merits under the Diamond Sutta cultivation? When you can develop the cultivation of what? Ah, no mark. Very good. Sadhu. No mark of a self-cultivating. In Mandarin, they call what? 最高的境界. Where you have this understanding that there is no one cultivating, no mark of a self cultivating, paying respect, doing all these things. Then no mark of living being. Then no mark of life. No mark of Dhamma. So all this, when you understand, when you have the wisdom that can penetrate all this, every action, every speech and thought that you arise, the field of merit is immeasurable. Then later on, when you understand through the wisdom, you can recite 4 stanzas from the Diamond Sutta and share with the world. Your field of merit is way, way beyond an ordinary cultivator who, even the Buddha say, let's say he has the condition to have the 7 treasure of the universe, and he can offer to all the Buddha, Sammasambuddha of the 3,000 world system. That merits that this cultivator receive is nowhere comparable to that cultivator who understand the 4 stanza from the Diamond Sutta, means the teaching of Noma, and share it with the world. So when you understand all this, when your cultivation reach that level, merit is exponential, understand that? Then you will not be keen, like foolish, to run after merit. And the message also came from the 5th patriarch. You remember? What did the 5th patriarch told Sun Xiu and all the disciples? Don't waste time in chasing after. After what? No, no, chasing after what? What type of merit? No, no, no. He used the word tinted. Remember? Don't waste time chasing after tinted merit. You know what is tinted? Not the real merit. Tinted means stained on. Understand? You understand? That's why all these are tinted merit. But a lot of people like, you know, chase after all the offering. Wow, this one are monk from don't know where, how many, you know, sangha. Oh, we must go, we must go. Oh, then I must offer. They don't get to offer, unhappy. Then sometimes they even like like want to like cut the queue, go in front, wait in front. They expect the monk to eat the food he offer. If he eat other people's food, not happy. This type of offering is all no much meaning. There are merits, but tinted merit. That's the reason why the Buddha want to teach this Brahmin. Yeah. Because he got past affinity and condition. And through this affinity and condition, the Buddha create condition for him. Because he is wealthy, but he doesn't know how to plant the great field of merits. So if he had at that moment rejoice and pay respect first, then through the sincerity, make the offering and what I should say, with humility, sincerity and understanding, sincerely offered the whatever makrais, the field of merit would have become very different. So this chapter gives us a lot of understanding. Is there any more? That's all, isn't it? Okay. More or less 10:30, yeah? Our timing is so good. So, Huirong, you finish year 12, huh? Then I let you finish year 13, 14, 15. We are very short. Page 218. Lai, ni lai jiang.
第十三年在卡利亚拉，只是讲这个地方。然后第十四年是在
杰多巴纳
啊，那一年他的儿子
萨瓦蒂哈，对，
拉胡拉20岁，然后也受了那个
还有 ordination
啊，对，受了那个戒啊。然后第十五年是他唯一一年在他的 hometown， 唯一的一年。那一年他的 father in law 那个 King
Subhadra
也 pass away。然后他其实一直很不高兴，因为他的因为 Buddha 离开了他的女儿。
他的女婿离开他的女儿。
对。这是他唯一在他的 hometown 过的一个、唯一过的一个下安居。
OK， 很好，停在这边。So let us rejoice and thank Huirong. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. OK, thank you so much.做到这个都热，很多气啊，good energy， 萨德，very good。Let us now recall to mind all of our wholesomeness that we have developed today, and we should share these merits with all beings, including all devas. So we will start off by reciting the sharing of merits with devas. For those who are new, we are at page. I think page 15. Because page 15, a lot of new devotees that day, Vivian was asking me, when you all share merit, where do you chant? Where you cannot follow? So today I guide you along. Page 15, the English translation is on the right. So the first one we chant, the first stanza, the four line. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. I will explain the meaning in English so that you understand. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation.
Dispensation means the sasana, the period where the teaching will still be around in this world. Mm. Then the next two is the same. Eh? So instead of long protect the sasana or dispensation, the second one is long protect the Dhamma. Then the third one is long protect me and others. So normally we don't chant these two because we just make sure the devas receive and can get to partake and share this what they call merits, so that they protect the sasana more important. Then for us, we are true cultivators of the Dhamma because we are Kayanamita, Dhamma friend who walk the path of Dhamma. So we are part of the sasana. We maintain the teaching. We are the one that sustain the cultivation and the teaching. So if you are part of the sasana, when they protect sasana, they protect you. That's why our spiritual world, our spiritual trip home, they are like very, very special, very beautiful. We are like being protected, very well protected. Like you are very lucky. The weather very conducive. Everything is very beautiful. Everything just go your way. Yeah. So there is a reason for it. Because every time after our spiritual class or sharing, we will share merits with the devas, especially the Dhamma protectors. Mm. Then you go to the fourth stanza. Huh? Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. The meaning is, may all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice. May it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. That's why we have to make sure this is been chanted, because it will contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. So not only they get to rejoice and share this merit, but we invoke power of merits on their behalf for their well-being and happiness. So these are very important. Then the next two also we skip, because this one is regarding the spirit. Then the last one is all beings. Actually, the first one is more important. That's why we always chant only the first one. Then we go to the last stanza. This one is transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya tayo. Then you turn to next page, page 16. We normally chant the last stanza after that, making aspiration. But today we will chant the patana also, the second last stanza also, so that we invoke blessing for our nation and the world. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati siddhya fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. The meaning is, may the rain fall in due season, and may there be good harvest and good fortune all around the world. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government, king and the rulers always be righteous. Yeah. Then the last one is, you make your aspiration. This one is very useful. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The meaning is, by the grace of this punya or merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one up till the time of final liberation, Nibbana. So this is the meaning. So with this, you all can have better understanding. Now you can pay respect to Triple Gem, all the great beings. Then we can end our session. Thank you.
the note, I got no time to finish. Maybe you all leave behind. Or you can take back and read next week, bring the note.